Education Committee to order. It's about 5 minutes after eight. We have present Senator Stevens and Senator Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chairman.
Senator Olson, excuse me, and myself, Betty Davis. We have one bill that's going to be discussed today, and is the exit exam coming before us for discussion only, and anybody call in that would want to testify on it. The reason I have this before us, I actually introduced it last session, but I didn't ask for hearing on it. I did this time because some months ago, the Department of Education asked that the exit test be reviewed and decided if it's in the need to continue it or if we should just repeal it. No discussion has ever been held on it, so that's the purpose of this bill. I do have one of my staff members here to come and give a brief overview of the exit exam, and I've asked people from Department of Education to come to talk about the bill. At this time, I don't think there's anybody signed up to testify, is it?
Dana has one.
Do you have a list over there? Okay. We'll just start with the overview of the bill.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the Education Committee. I'm Tom Obermeyer, staff to Senator Davis. The bill before you is Senate Bill 109. It's an act repealing the Secondary Student Competency Exam and related requirements and providing for an effective date. SB 109 repeals the Secondary Competency Exam, also known as the High School Graduation Qualifying Exam or Exit Exam. The High School Graduation Qualifying Exam was initiated in 2001 and became fully effective in 2004 following the Trend for More assessment in the No Child Left Behind Act of 2001. It was never clear that the High School Graduation Qualifying Exam would improve performance and measure whether students would be better prepared for college, much less determine conclusively that students were receiving diplomas but lacking basic skills. The exit exam has become a high-stakes hurdle that has harmed many students in Alaska while exacerbating a court finding in 2007 that the state was violating students' constitutional rights to an education without providing proper assistance and direction. And that I refer you to the Moore case. It may be argued that the state does not need the high school graduation qualifying exam, and the state and all districts already require many assessment tests to determine student progress and competency. At the same time, there is a trend away from exit exams. The Center on Education Policy report in August of 2008 reported that most states are moving toward end-of-course exams, which assess mastery of content of a specific high school course in lieu of exit exams. The current high school graduation qualifying exam reportedly has been changed by the Board of Education and made less difficult than at inception. As a result, the exam has become somewhat redundant, time-consuming, and expensive to administer. To save time and money, beginning in the spring of 2006, sophomores took the test, a test that combined the high school graduation qualifying exam with a standards-based reading and math assessment test required by the federal No Child Left Behind Act. Although the students took only one exam, some questions counted for one or the other or both exams to satisfy state requirements. I refer you to a legislative report in 06.233 in 2006, History, Results, and Costs of the High School Graduation Qualifying Exam. The exam reportedly has detracted from the standard curriculum and also has promoted teaching to the test. The department reported in 2007 that over 1,100 students statewide failed to pass the high school graduation qualifying exam after five opportunities, while 8,524 passed. Reference the Moore case, findings of fact, conclusions of law. These numbers excluded all students who had dropped out or transferred to another school before passing. The court in Moore determined that the state was violating the substantive due process rights of students by denying high school diplomas to students, in chronically underperforming school districts. Students were failing the high school graduation qualifying exam while the state was failing to provide the oversight, assistance, and direction with clear standards to guide districts attempting to meet content and performance standards. As a result, the court concluded that the department was ultimately failing to maintain a system of public schools as required under Alaska Constitution Article 7, Section 1. Finding insufficient proof of compliance with its 2007 order, the court in Moore on February 4, 2009, gave the department 60 days to establish compliance with its constitutional duties and to file with the court revised district intervention plans that address and incorporate as appropriate remedial measures related to each of the problem areas identified in the findings. Alaska's experience with the high school exit exams is not new, but it's widespread. Fearful that hundreds of thousands of students would be left behind by one set of standardized time-pressured tests in New York, an article appeared in the New York Times headed Albany Legislators Seek to Dilute New Tougher Graduation Exams. It was stated in the article that, in quotes, an unusual bipartisan coalition of state lawmakers whose constituents range from inner-city residents to affluent suburbanites is pushing to scale back new, more stringent graduation requirements for nearly all public high school students. That was the New York Times in May of 1999. The Center on Education Policy reported in August of 2008 that in 2007 through 2008 school year, 23 states required students to take and pass exit exams to receive a high school diploma. Three more states, Arkansas, Maryland, and Oklahoma, will begin withholding diplomas within the next few years, leading to a total of 26 states with such policies by 2012. Additionally, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Oregon are considering exit exams, but Oregon and Pennsylvania are opting to use multiple measures. The Center on Education Policy reported that 68% of the nation's public school students attend schools in the 23 states with such policies. By 2012, 75% of the nation's public high school students will be affected, including 84% of low-income students and students of color. The Center on Education Policy recommends more funding should be allocated to research aimed at better understanding the impact of exit exams, considering the vast number of students affected by state-mandated high school exit exams. State governments, the CEC report, should move immediately to collect and release data on final passage rates on these and rate of students using alternative paths to graduation. As they implement more end-of-course exams, the CEP recommends states address the need for greater rigor in the content of their exams and provide for greater coordination of high school requirements with college preparedness and work readiness demands. While dropping the high school graduation qualifying exam does not remedy underlying problems in delivering quality education in underperforming districts already identified by other assessments, it does remove the risk that a student can be denied a diploma after 12 years of education by one exam. Eliminating the high school graduation qualifying exam may also encourage youth to stay in school long enough to get a diploma and reduce the dropout rate. After complying with court-ordered requirements and more, and perhaps after more experience with other ongoing assessments, the Department and Board of Education may better determine whether an exit exam or high school graduation qualifying exam is in the best interest of the state, recognizing that more states seem to be moving away from exit exams toward end-of-course exams.
Okay. You've heard the overview that we have. If there's not any questions, what I had planned to do was ask the department to come up and discuss the exit exam with us. Anybody have a question at this time? A comment to make?
Maybe just a general question.
Yes.
I wasn't following all you were reading there, Tom. It was a little hard to follow. You were reading so fast. But so our students aren't passing the high school equivalence exam, so we're going to eliminate it. So it's become so onerous that I thought the idea was to improve things, but you feel that, in fact, it's a detriment now? And you feel the Moore case has somehow said that high school exams, the exit exam is not good? I guess I don't know.
Let me, and I apologize for reading so fast because it was two pages and I didn't want to read too slowly, but I spent a great deal of time.
Before you answer the question, though, you should let him know what you stated in there about the Moore case.
Yes.
Actually, what happened is not our determination that that's the case. the reason I have it back here is because the Department of, the Board of Education asked that it be reviewed and decide if we should keep it or not keep it. And nobody has taken it up. I took it up with the last commissioner. I am now bringing it back again because I do believe we need to do that. But the statement that you read in there came strictly out of the Moore case. That's where he got that.
And
it's quoted in the document there where it came from. It's not his determination. It's
well, through the chair, Senator Stevens, it was the position on this has always been questionable about the need for the exam. First, I explained that this exam now is combined with portions of the No Child Left Behind Act for sophomores in 10th grade. Portions of, questions that apply to two sections of the test apply to the No Child Left Behind, and that other section goes to the high school qualifying exam, so it satisfies both requirements and saves money. But there's some question about whether it's needed. It is denying diplomas to some students, particularly those in underperforming districts and low-income students and students perhaps with bilingual issues. But most students do get through it. I think if you notice in a letter that just came out this morning or last night from a board member, Jeff Friedman in Anchorage, he says about 95% of the students in Anchorage who qualify, who have credits to graduate, pass the exit exam. But I'm not suggesting that the exam wasn't well intended. I'm just suggesting that it tends to be what they call in most states a high risk exam, high risk stakes exam that can deny someone a diploma without any, after having taken 12 years of courses and probably with satisfactory performance in most of them. And there's some question about whether this is fair to these people, particularly since the Moore case. And the reason I brought that in was that the examination of our performance educationally in this state under Moore is that if we're going to use tests like this, and they mentioned very specifically in your backup data that that if they're going to use tests like this, you have to give some direction and assistance to those districts so they can comply with the content and standards in the curriculum. And they felt that we were not doing that, and for that basis, we were violating the Alaska Constitution. So this case is directly tied to the Moore case is directly tied to the exit exam and to the performance of the educational system in Alaska as a whole. So I think it's probably appropriate now that Moore has brought this to fore that this committee deal with it. And I think that's the reason that Senator Davis wanted to bring this to the committee at this time.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay, so the problem is that we you think that we're denying a high school diploma to kids, to certain kids, that can't pass the test. And we can solve that by just giving everyone a diploma if they stay around for 12 years. But you're not suggesting that.
Now, through the chair, Senator Stevens, no. But they believe that those children who may not pass this test and are underperforming could be given assistance to bring them up to speed. In fact, that ties in with a bill that we had and have before us regarding the raising the compulsory school age to 18. If these kids are encouraged to stay in school, not to drop out after they miss this test, and that's often what happens, they flunk this test and they say, I quit at age 16. If they can stay in school, they can be encouraged and worked with their districts, they can be brought up to speed and meet minimum competent tests. The other thing that is significant, since the Committee on Educational Policy suggests that more end-of-course exams are more relevant, they're really worried about kids mastering the area that they're studying in. So if they're studying calculus or they're studying English, that if they take an end-of-course exam and they pass that, they feel that they've met the requirements of the district at that point, and that they, if they're tested on something, and it wouldn't be at that math level, on the high school exit exam, that they not be denied a diploma at the end after they've passed all the requirements throughout. So, and there may be, there are educators here that can better speak to the need for this test than I can, but this is generally what I've read in the beginning of this test. I must admit that I went back to the 2006 legislative research report. I looked at what was written by the department in 06 when they combined the exit exam with the No Child Left Behind Act exam. And I also recall from my own memory how this test began with the funding from Exxon to publish beautiful literature and so forth and get this thing going, and then the burden of it was dropped on the districts. So I at this point really have nothing further to add unless you have a direct question or a specific question about the content of the sponsor statement or detail.
Well, just one final question. Lead me through the argument on how the Moore case implies in any way that the high school exit exam violates students' constitutional rights to education. Just simply in logical steps,
okay.
How does the Moore case do that?
Well, substantive due process from a legal standpoint requires that you have an opportunity of notice and an opportunity to be heard. The notice requirement, whether substantive or procedural due process, is very significant, and based on that notice could be implied in the school district's case by they're not giving these children enough help or notice that they must do the job properly, enough direction from the Department of Education, not just the district, that if they're going to have this test, they have to do it. Now, I did attach, as part of your documentation, the portions of the Moore case that were relevant to the high school graduation exam, and that, I think it was pages 11 through 11, 12, 13, and then 46 through 58. In the conclusions of law on page 46 of 58, and this is the backside of the second page in on it, it says that the court's 2007 decision concluded the department was not fulfilling its constitutional oversight responsibility in chronically underperforming districts and schools, and ordered the department to take adequate remedial measures to establish compliance. The state asked the court now to find that the deficiencies identified in 07 have been cured and that this court should accept the system as compliant with the education clause. That's of the Constitution. But the plaintiffs asked this court to find that the state court intervention efforts failed to comply with the requirements of the court's 07 order and that the department continues to be out of compliance with the oversight duties imposed by the education clause of the Alaska Constitution. An order was issued, and the court held that under this clause, it's the court's responsibility to determine a constitutional floor with respect to educational adequacy and to determine that if constitutional floor is currently being met. And so they go on and explain that at this juncture, where the issue is adequacy of the state's oversight and assistance to chronically underperforming districts, and no individual student plaintiffs are asserting that they are not being accorded their constitutional rights to an education, this court will instead maintain the constitutional floor analysis first set out in the case in 06 and determine whether the state's current efforts to comply with the education clause are adequate. And stated differently, the state has now demonstrated it's fulfilling its constitutional responsibility to maintain a system of public schools, in question mark.
So, and I think we've read enough of that.
So I don't want to read the whole thing, but I point out that when they talk about the exam violating the substantive due process rights, they're saying that kids have a right to an education, number one, and two, that if you're going to give them if they have a right to an education, the notice requirement has to include telling them what is needed and give them assistance to get through the system rather than just coming up with an exit exam that tosses them out.
In answer to your question, Senator Stevens, we do have students who are not getting a diploma because they do not pass the test. They are given many chances to take it from the 10th grade, and even after they graduate from high school, they also have an opportunity to continue to take the test at least once after the graduation without the diploma. But there are our children leaving the district without diplomas. And I think the department could speak to that. We could have them come up and give the overview of the exit exam. We've been doing it for quite a while. Implemented in 2002. We should have a lot of information on it. I'm particularly interested in how much money we spent on it to give the test, what kind of contract we have, and what's the extent of the present contract that they have on it. And I think I do want to say I'm not saying that we don't need it. I'm not saying that we do. But I think it's time for it to be reviewed. And this is a good way to bring it forward.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question.
You may ask your question.
Mr. Obermeier, as you looked at some of the, on the top of the second page of the sponsor statement, you talked about the 1,100 students that have failed to pass the exam, yet 8,500 have passed. What have been the trends over the last number of years as far as percentage passing and percentage failure goes? Do you happen to have those numbers since it was initially implemented?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't have the trend, and I don't know if it's improving or not improving. I think the same problems have existed throughout. I think the department could speak to that better, and I must admit, I just picked that number right out of the case because it was more current than many of the other numbers. Most of the other data I had was from 2006 and 2004, which was quite out of date. I had sent a notice over to the department, and they may be here to speak to that today, asking specifically for questions regarding, the numbers that would be relevant in at this hearing, special issues as to administration outcomes and effect in rural areas and so forth. So they may have some information on that. I don't know.
Another question, Madam Chairman.
Yes,
as you look at those people, those students that have passed the high school graduate qualifying exam, and those people that have not, has that been has there been a lot of adverse effects of that in their continuing on to college?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't know if it has much effect at all, to be honest with you, as to those that are college bound.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that kids who graduate from high school are immediately thinking about college. And those who are denied a high school education, particularly with an exit exam and drop out early, I think their chances of going back to college are next to none.
Sure. And that's understandable.
Most anybody that finished high school and do not have a certificate of graduation wouldn't be able to enroll in college. They could go back and do something else, but if they only got out with that, said you did pass, you would not be able to get in college, most colleges. And that's what it says, did not pass.
And so if somebody goes to get ready to go to vocational school, can they continue on with a vocational training in these VOTEC schools, even having not passed the high school exit exam?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I'm not sure how the vocational requirements are met, but I can suggest that the Center on Education Policy had commented that there may be alternative routes through to a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think that this state has examined. And this is to move people into the workforce as well into college. So there may be suggestions along those lines that I'm not able to answer.
In the speaking of that, once you've passed or haven't passed the high school exit exam, are you eligible to go ahead and take the GED?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, my understanding is that if you dropped out of school or wherever you are in the appropriate age, you can go for your GED.
Right.
And if you obtain that, that is more of a substitute for the regular high school diploma, and then you can move on with that into college or whatever else you're doing.
as you look at the two exams, the GED versus the exit exam, what's the sense of what's the number of passage, the percentage of passage, or how difficult is one compared to the other?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I can't really comment on that because I really have never examined the two, but it's my understanding that the high school graduation qualifying exam is not a particularly difficult exam, although it is because it is given first in the 10th grade. But those kids who are discouraged from graduating by failing that and not continuing in high school, many of them are capable of graduating and just drop through the cracks. And that's what we're trying to eliminate here by the repeal of the exam.
Last question, Madam Chairman, has to do more with a public policy question. As you look at somebody that has got a high school diploma, obviously, the responsibility that goes along with that is the assumption that you have somebody that can go ahead and this is more from employers, that you have the assumption that this person can read and write and do some elemental arithmetic. If you go ahead and don't have, and some of these students that have been just babysat for a number of years, you can't get that, or you can't, as an employer, they come to us and say, you know, we can't hire this person because they can't read and write.
Well, through the chair, Senator Olson, I gave some considerable consideration to that thought, and I kept wondering why Exxon had helped sponsor the initial beginning of this test with paying for exams through McGraw-Hill. And that's just from my own memory, and if I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected. But I think, in addition to that, Alyeska Pipeline Service Company in this state hires, they have a program to hire natives and from rural areas and so forth. And they want to be sure, as most employers, that these students who do have high school certification and diplomas are qualified to work in their facilities. And that's perfectly all right. But they have other ways of dealing with this besides looking at a qualifying exam. Many employers have tests that they administer to people coming through for various levels. Years ago, it was a typing test at 95 words per minute for a secretary. Now they may have tests regarding math for other people. We've all seen people at cash registers who can't add or subtract, but they push a button that says hamburger. I mean, it is a little embarrassing that some people don't have standard skills in certain areas, but the major employers have the ability to deal with this without this exam issue coming to fore.
Just a side note, I think the typing exam was done by the title beast and Bombshell, wasn't it?
I
do you remember her?
The chair, I don't recall.
I think she was in the Congress. Remember her? She was in the Congress. It wasn't Sam Rayburn's person. But anyway, thank you, Madam Chairman.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. Department, want to come up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Department of Education and Early Development. And with me today is Eric McCormick, the Assessment Director for the Department of Education. Madam Chair, I've enjoyed the discussion you've had this morning on the exit exam. You may remember back in about 2002, the exit exam was first passed. It was brought by now Senator Bundy. And it was intended to be a minimum competency exam to help employers or to assure employers that students coming out of the public school system did have the basic skills in reading, writing, and mathematics. So that really is where the exit exam started. It was never intended to be an exam to measure whether or not a child's ready to go on to college. It was intended to measure minimum competency skills. Madam Chair, you said that you were interested in the contract that the department has for its assessment.
I'm interested in that, but I would like for you to give me more information on the test itself. What's the success of the test, where we are at this point? I know pretty much what's going on in Anchorage, but I do not know what's happening statewide. I wondered if you had any thoughts of going through that and saying, this is where we are, the changes that's been made, why they were made, how successful you think you are not successful with the test. At some point, that discussion needs to be held.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'm going to ask Eric McCormick to give you the overview of the exit exam itself. If you want to have some discussion about the exit exam and how it connects with the Moore versus State lawsuit, I'd be happy to have that discussion with you. But I'm going to have Eric give you the background on
yes.
that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We have state your name for the record, please.
Sorry. Eric McCormick with the Alaska Department of Education Neurodevelopment. I am the Director of Assessment, Accountability, and Information Management. Madam Chair, we've been looking in our graduation rates and our dropout rates at those seniors that are not graduating but are still continuing, the ones that either don't have enough credits yet to receive a diploma or they just haven't passed the test. What we found was out of the kid in tracking kids from the first time they take it in the spring of their 10th grade to the spring of their 12th grade, about 89% of our kids pass it over those 3 years. Another thing we looked at, we had about 1,500 seniors in 2008 that did not receive a diploma. Of those 1,500 seniors, 69% of them had indeed passed all three parts of the HSGQE.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I was saying out of the 1,500 seniors in 2008 that did not receive a diploma, that finished the school year, 69% of those seniors have passed all three parts of the high school qualifying exam. Now, that does not include the kids who may have dropped out as a 9th grader, a 10th grader, or 11th grader. We can provide those as well.
Okay.
To respond to Senator Olson's question about the GEDs and the HSGQE, at the department, we are just now starting to research and working with the Department of Labor to see if we can track those kids that we have that are not receiving diplomas to see how many of them go on to get their GEDs. At this point, we don't have that connection, but we are pursuing that. I did not bring the specific statistics for passage of the HSGQE with me, but I can provide that to you quickly. Go ahead.
Is that all you?
Go ahead.
Any questions?
Sure.
Yes, Senator.
So Eric, is it your recommendation as a department or as an individual that we drop this this test?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. At this point, I'm brand new. I'm a brand new assessment director.
Well, then you can pass that question on to.
Yeah. What I am very interested in pursuing is the idea of alternative routes to graduation. I can tell you I have three kids in the public school system, so I definitely have a vested interest in this. At this point, I have been with the department for 14 years. So I've been there since the development of the HSGQE, development of our SBAs, and I'm very interested in pursuing other routes, alternative routes to graduation.
When you talk about alternative routes, could you just give me an example of what you're speaking of?
Well, I believe.
Is that for all students or is that for special ed students or what?
Madam Chair, at this time, I heard Mr. Obermeyer's mention of the CEP. So we use them extensively in our own research. And most of the alternate routes are geared toward students with disabilities and limited English proficient students. But I would like to look into alternative routes for general education students. I'm not aware of any off the top of my head, but I can certainly research those to see what other states are doing.
Yes, Mr. Stevens?
So, Eric, I don't want to put you on the spot here because I understand you're new, but do you as a professional see any value in this exit exam? And if so, what?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I do believe that it is important for us to have a minimum set of standards across our state. From Ketchikan to Barrow, a diploma should mean the same across our entire state. That's about all I have to say there.
Madam Chair, Senator Stevens, the position of the department is that there should be some kind of indicator on the students' diplomas that indicate their level of proficiency. Whether or not it's the high school qualifying exam or some other mechanism, we should have some kind of indicator that employers, the universities, can look at and understand what those indicators mean. An example of that may be moving forward with the work keys assessment that we're working with the Department of Labor. Instead of making it a qualifying exam, just require districts to issue that the results of that assessment on all students' diplomas. And then employers would be able to look at that and see what level of skills that individual students have and whether or not they may or may not fit in their workplace. So I think that's the kind of alternatives that we're looking at, not the cut and dried, you have to take the test, pass the test to get the diploma. But we still need some kind of indicator on the diploma to indicate to employers, the university systems, the vocational schools, of what each individual student skill level is.
Okay, thanks. I also want you to tell us what percentage of that test. You said we now have one test doing two things, but No Child Left Behind, and what's the other part of the exit exam? And those three subjects that we test, what percentage of that is the exit exam in the test at the present time?
Madam Chair, this is Eric McCormick again. Thank you. At this point, I don't have the statistics with me as far as the breakdown and the questions. For the 10th grade SBA that we give in the spring, the test is split between the standards-based assessment for grade 10, which meets all of our No Child Left Behind requirements, and the HSGQE. We do have questions that are developed solely for the standard-based assessment, solely for the HSGQE, and then we do have questions that address both.
And the standard-based assessment is what is needed for No Child Left Behind?
Madam Chair, that is correct. We are required through No Child Left Behind to test at least one high school grade. We are currently testing the 9th and the 10th grade on the standards-based assessment.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may, for the high school qualifying exam itself, when we do those retakes in the 11th and 12th grade, that component by itself runs about $1.3 million to $1.5 million a year. And that one we can clearly identify as strictly related to the high school qualifying exam because it does not have any of the standards-based assessment included on that test. So that one we can clearly identify as strictly high school qualifying exam cost.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Let me turn my phone off here and
we'll take a minute.
Sorry about that. No, I did that. But okay. Eddie, could I ask you the same question then? Is it your position that we should now, after 4 years, get rid of this exit exam? Is that the position of the department? And is that your position?
Mr. Chairman, I speak for the department. And I can't say that that's our position to eliminate the exit exam right now without having a fallback. I gave you the work keys assessment as an example, and I know there's been a lot of discussion and ongoing discussion with the state board that could possibly be the new measure that's tied to high school diplomas. But the board has not taken a formal position on that or the repeal of the exit exam at this point in time. As Senator Davis mentioned, they asked that it be reviewed and discussed.
And Paul, when can we expect the recommendation from the board? I mean, rather than us driving this, it seems to me that the board and the department should be the primary movers to decide that this is or is not working and needs to be replaced by something else.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I'd be happy to take that to the board and have that discussion. Will it happen this session? No. But we could have it. Have that discussion with the state board and possibly have a position for you at the beginning of next session.
Thank you.
And I'm not pushing for that to take place this within the next month, because we just have almost a month left here. But the thing is, That's been at least 2 years when they gave that mandate, and nothing has been done with the exit exam. And that's why I have this bill before us. Not to say that we need to repeal it, but talk about it and see what changes we need and what good it's doing versus the cost of it. You told me what it costs to give the repeat, but you still haven't given me the overall for the testing that we do statewide, even though we're doing one test for two different reasons.
Right.
And what the contract's like and what's this expiration on it, because all that would fit in if you were going to repeal it or at least be working towards repealing it, coming right up with another source other than the exit exam, because it is a high-stake test. And we do have, even though you're saying, in, I heard him say that Anchorage say 95% of their children was finished in, graduating and passing the test. So you still have that 5%, and we got like 40,000 students there. That's a significant number of students that's not passing that test and doesn't have a diploma.
Madam Chair, I'm going to answer the financial one piece of the question first. We just entered into a new contract with DRC, our vendor, assessment vendor. It's an annual contract. It has 1 year extensions within it. We can renew those out through 2016. If the legislature repeals the high school qualifying exam in law, then we have an option to go back and renegotiate with them. How much they're willing to come down off their annual price is a good question, because they're looking at the entire state assessment system, which is grades 3 through 10. And as Eric mentioned, the high school qualifying exam is embedded in that 10th grade standardized assessment. So there would be some work to pull out the high school qualifying pieces. We probably have to do some work to put some standards-based assessment pieces back into that, so it may be a wash on that particular piece. But as I mentioned, we were able to identify the one component, the retake, clearly is $1.3 to $1.5 million a year that we should be able to save.
Is that for the entire contract, or is that the annual?
It's the entire contract over through 2016.
Okay. So the estimated cost of the contract through 2016 is approximately $48 million.
But that extends to 2016?
We have the option for an annual renewal through 2016. And if we renewed it every year based on the current contract levels, the total cost would be approximately $48 million.
That's $48 million a year?
Total.
Total, that's what I mean?
Total. Mm-hmm. The yearly savings just for that exit exam retake piece would be $1.3 to $1.5 million beginning in 2012. Madam Chair, on your piece about the 95% of the students pass a high school qualifying exam. In Anchorage, we have 5% that don't. On the other end are the districts like in the Moore case. And Judge Gleason identified the Upiat School District as chronically underperforming. When you take a look at their assessment results, they're down below 30% of their students are proficient in reading, writing, and math. Pretty low performance. So in that case, Judge Gleason was saying, where you have a chronically low performing school or district, and the state has an obligation to get in there and try to change that environment so that the students clearly have an opportunity to learn what's being tested, we shouldn't be withholding their exams or their diplomas until we can demonstrate to the courts that those children absolutely had the opportunity to learn. When we came before this body last year and asked for Senate Bill 285 to give us the oversight, we drew the line at 50% of the students. If less than 50% of the students could not pass the assessments, in reading, writing, and math, then we felt that those schools were underperforming and we needed to take a look at them on an individual basis. So clearly, in the case of the Upiat School District, all three of their schools are down around the 30s. I mean, it's pretty low. So that's why the judge in the Moore case said, look, State of Alaska, you've known that this has been going on for a long time. You haven't done anything about it, yet you're denying a number of students in this in these three communities high school diplomas, and that's not acceptable. We have intervened in that district. We continue to intervene in that district, and we are seeing slight increases in their performance, clearly not as much as we'd like to see.
Mr. Montgomery, I know that you said that you are new to this part of the work that's been done, but you've been there for 14 years, you say? I find it interesting that you don't have the figures that you can go back and show what the success of the exit exam for statewide. You know, surely you must be keeping up with what's happening about that test is given yearly. Somebody must be have to report back. The school district must have to report back to DED, and you should have that information.
Madam Chair, I can provide that information for you. I have it. I can do it by subject. I have it by district. I apologize. I didn't bring it with me here.
Okay,
but we do have all those reports available down to the school level, down to each subgroup within a school.
All right. Thanks,
Madam Chair. And I think it depends on the level of data that you're asking for. Mr. McCormick did testify today that 90% of the students do pass the high school qualifying exam within the three-year period. So, you know, starting with their freshman year, or excuse me, 89%, starting with their sophomore year, thank you, over that three-year period, 89% of the students will pass the high school qualifying exam, or have. So, unless you want to get into subgroups like special ed, LEPs, that
I
kind of thing.
I want to know the subgroups. I do.
Okay, we'd be happy to provide that to you.
All right, thank you. Did you have anything else? I'm sorry, you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, I thinking back to my high school diploma, which you know was almost half a century ago, it only said either you graduated or you didn't. There were no qualifying things on it that you were at a certain level in certain areas. But I understand how there might be some value in having an indication on diplomas of level of proficiency. So could you help me understand the work keys you were talking about? What exactly is that? How does it work? What does it tell the student, the employer, and everyone else?
The work keys assessment is aligned. The assessment is aligned to a number of jobs that the what's the name of the group again?
ACT.
ACT. ACT is aligned to specific jobs and what's required in reading mathematics and locating information. And so based on your performance on their assessment, you can go and look at different types of job classes and what your level of proficiency should be in those different categories. What it tells you is whether or not you're proficient enough in those areas to be trained to do that kind of work. It doesn't say you're ready to do that kind of work. So like if I wanted to be an engineer, it would tell me I need to have really high math scores and, you know, whatever. And when I take the assessment, if I'm below in any one of those categories, we also have a contractor that provides remedial training. So you can go out and work on those individual areas and then go back and take the test again. The thing is it's pretty well known nationwide down south, not so much in Alaska. Employers are just now starting to get used to it, and that's an effort that's going on by the Department of Labor. And Department of Labor is also using that assessment in their job centers as a way to assess individual people's proficiencies and to help them in locating jobs. So A lot of employers are not using it in the state of Alaska, but there's a push by Department of Labor that more are familiar with it. And that's the kind of information that we think the employers are looking for when they're hiring students out of high school.
So how does that differ then? Because I know I've had jobs where they've asked for my academic record.
Transcripts.
Your transcripts. And how does this differ, and how much information are you going to put on these diplomas anyway?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the work keys assesses three areas. And so only those three areas would be identified on the high school diploma. Currently, they issue individual certificates for the work keys assessment. So, you know, you could have your diploma and your certificate. But I use that as an example because that's one of the other tools that we're using right now in public schools. And in fact, all districts will be required to administer that work keys assessment to their 11th graders next school year. So it's one of those tools that's in our bag, and we think it's going to provide useful information to the employers.
And the follow-up, do we provide transcripts still to employers if they want to know specifics of a student's record?
Mr. Chair, or through the chair, Senator Stevens, the students can request copies of their transcripts and provide them to employers. But it's not something that the districts are going to do automatically, no.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And when I applied for my job with the state, they just wanted to know, did I have a diploma?
In most cases, that's what they want to know.
Yeah.
Unless they ask for the transcript just to see what kinds of grades that you got. But we do have a couple of people online. Are you still there, Linda Garcia?
Maybe we should be checking in.
John Alcantara?
Yes, ma'am, Madam Chair. Good morning. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, we hear you very well.
Okay, I'm here at the Anchorage LIO with Lydia Garcia. She's their executive director, and she's prepared to testify now in support of SB 109 or at a future hearing, depending on your timing. Would you like to hear a testimony now?
Yes, we have time to do that.
Okay. There you go, Senator.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Senator Davis. For the record, my name is Lydia Garcia, and I serve as the executive director for the almost 13,000 public school employees and members of NEA Alaska. NEA Alaska applauds Senator Davis for introducing SB 109. The high school graduation qualifying exam has long been viewed by our members as a drain on our public schools' resources. Additionally, this mandate is remiss by not providing any meaningful data as to whether it is improving the abilities of our children in Alaska schools. Ironically, we're here on the fifth anniversary of Noon versus State of Alaska. This lawsuit was filed to improve the chances of children with disabilities to receive the instruction necessary to give them an opportunity to pass the test. We've heard a lot of reference to the Moore case. Less than 2 years ago, Judge Sharon Gleason in Moore versus State of Alaska did find that the state was failing to provide the correct oversight and assistance to school districts attempting to meet content and performance standards. One example of the disconnect between testing and instruction is that in 2004 and 2005, there 23% of Alaska's high schools did not provide the necessary instruction for the geometry portion of the mathematics tested by the exit exam. There are a number of other issues to this exit exam, just to name a few. It doesn't provide a valuable assessment to those students that may choose a vocational educational track that was referenced to earlier by Senator Olson. It doesn't give equal opportunity to English as second language learners. Sophomores that pass the test often do rebel against the other necessities of a high school education, such as credit accumulation. NEA Alaska strongly opposes high-stakes testing and believes that money spent on these tests can be better spent in the classroom, providing our students with quality instruction. Alaska has numerous assessment tools available, and the exit exam has not proven itself to be of any value. The exit exam is seen by students and the public as an achievement. Eddie Jeans referred to it as minimum competency skills. It is an achievement and a minimum standard. It does not address excellence in any way. So I want to thank you very much for your time. I know that there was a reference made earlier to the school board and discussing this issue. I know that the school board will be, or the state board will be meeting at the end of this week. And I'm hoping that they'll take some time to focus attention on this very important issue. I want to thank you again for your time, and I urge you to pass Senate Bill 109 through this committee.
Well,
thank you.
We thank you very much for your testimony.
Question?
There is a question for you, okay? Senator Stevens.
Ms. Garcia, just want to know, what do you want to replace this with anything else, or do you just want to get rid of the tests? How do you deal with the public who feels that a high school diploma should show some basic skills in reading, writing, and math?
Well, we do believe that that there needs to be more focus and attention on the education that occurs in the classroom, as far as providing a more quality education for each of our children and putting more resources into that. We already have the standards-based assessment, and so, you know, we believe that there is a standard there in place.
Any further?
No, I think she's answered it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no other questions. We thank you very much for your testimony.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. There's anybody in the audience to testify? Seeing none, I hear none. We will adjourn at this time. It's about 2 minutes after 9:00.